Good morning, sir. I want to welcome each of you here. I want to say it's a pleasure and privilege to be able to come before you and bring a message from God's Word. The particular lesson today, Ross and I had not talked particularly about what I was going to preach on, but I think the song he just led is going to tie very well into the lesson that I brought today. I want to be ready to meet him. Question is, are we ready? Do we have time now? You know, we have all these things that we plan in life. We have things that are upcoming, things that we know that are a part of what our plan is, but none of us really understand what God's plan is for us. Earlier this year, you know, we went to the Philippines, and that part of I want to be ready comes into play with us, because as Chad well knows, when you tell Rody that you're willing to come help him, he will create a schedule. And it's like the next day. Catherine and I was kind of surprised when we received that schedule the next day. And we had to ask ourselves, you know, is this the right time for us to do this? You know, is this something that we can do? And so we did. And I had the opportunity and the fortune that I preached 25 sermons in 10 days. And of those 25 sermons, one of them, Sister Tessie and Catherine and Brother Rode, of course, were there, every one of them. She said, "This is my favorite, David." And we talked about it. And she and I talked about this particular sermon because she said it applies to everyone. This is something I know for a fact that Hannah and even Layton has used this expression before. They've asked, "What time is it?" We've all used that expression. We use it a lot. What time is it? And we're going to talk about what time is it when we look at the Bible and what God's words has to say about that. So in your Bibles, if you would, first scripture I'd like for you to turn to is 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Now, I won't read every one of the scriptures that I have here, but certainly Ross is recording the lesson, and I have these available to you, and you're welcome to get a copy of the entire lesson. Matter of fact, it was a lesson that Brother Alton Bailey shared with us a number of years ago. And some of you, we were even here when I brought it the first time here. It was 2013. Now, Layton was here. He was this little guy. And again, of course, back in January. So we've had opportunities. So we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and see what it has to say. But really, here's the punchline. What time is it? The time is now. The time is now. The reason why the time is now, because that's all we have promised to us. I shared with a number of you, one of the heartbreaking aspects of that trip was there was a gentleman who happened to be an individual, was the oldest Christian there. Of course, there's no status about him being the oldest Christian there, but he was. That was just a fact. He was an individual that had been a Christian the longest there. And I did this lesson on February 5th of this year. And after the lesson, he did a heart-wrenching prayer. As we close that lesson, tears from his eyes, tears from everyone in the audience, and many of it, as most of you probably have heard by now, in the Filipino language, he used a lot of English. So we understood what the man was saying. He was praying for us. He was praying for the church. He specifically was praying for the church that God would allow us to continue to have the church there within the Philippines. And many of you know he died in a tragic accident, not only him and his wife, on that same day. As we were leaving the building, he came up to Brother Rhoda and I. He said, "Hey, Brother David, you and Brother Rhoda," he said, "you men are trying to do things that God has told us to do." He said, "I want to talk with you a little more." We didn't have that conversation. Maybe we'll have that conversation somewhere else. Hopefully, if God will choose. So the time is now. That's all we got. We don't have tomorrow. We don't have the next day. We don't even have this afternoon. You know, it's the time for us to live our lives. You know, if there's something you're putting off, because you're going, "Well, I got to wait to this." Well, you don't have that promise to you. It's also time for us to accomplish what God's will is for us. You know, many folks, and of course, Catherine and I were getting ready to hit that big 6-0. But when we were back in the chat, back in the 4-0 era, there were people who would tell us, "Well, when we get to our 60, we're going to do it." They're with us, Chad. They're at their 60 now. Still haven't done it yet. You know, now they say 70, 80. But the idea is we're going to accomplish God's will. We're going to do it. All we got is, what time is it? The time is now. Also, to prepare ourselves for eternity, the time is now. We don't have tomorrow. We don't have the next day. Let's look and see how the Bible explains it. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, Apostle Paul says, in acceptable times I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Paul says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What time is it? The time is now. Also, too, I'd like for you to look at Romans chapter 13. Apostle Paul again here in Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. It says, and that, Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. And that, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. Paul says, wake up. He says, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. He goes on, he says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. These are the things we've got to do now. The day is at hand. He says in verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, not in strife and envy. But he says in envying. Yeah, I'll get it eventually. Strike that one, Ross, off the tape. Verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The time is now. What time is it? The time is now. That's all we have. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear. The Bible says, this is what time it is. The time is now. We don't have time to plan for something that's in the future, something that's going to come later on. The time is now. Well, why would we say now is the time? Well, everything's ready. All things are ready. The Bible says that. All things are ready. So, you know, Chad, for those folks who told me at 40, we're waiting for, I got to get everything right. I got to get my life together, right? We got to get everything together, get everything all right. Bible says all things are ready. Everything we need. We sing a song, right? In your song books. We're not going to sing, but I'd like for you to turn over to song number 317. We sing this song quite often. Probably haven't sang it in a while, but all things are ready. Come to the feast. But I'd like for you to look at, as we say, it says, because come, for the table is now spread, not in the future. It's already there. But he says, ye famishing, ye weary, come, and there shall be richly fed. All things are ready. There's nothing that we got to wait on. And the second stanza, he goes on, he talks about, he says, come, for the door is open wide. We ain't got to wait for a time, right? Some things like we have to wait for a particular. Maybe there's a favorite show or a favorite thing we want to do. We have to wait in line for it. He says the door is open wide. He says the place of honor is reserved for you at the master's side. All things are ready. What time is it? The time is now. He goes on in that song. He says, delay not. Delay not why this day is thine. That's all you got is today. Tomorrow may never be. Tomorrow may never be. It goes on, come to the feast upon the love of God and drink the everlasting life. What time is it? The time is now. The fullness has come. Everything you and I need is there. Well, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul writes, he says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. We know Jesus has come to this earth, born of a woman, born under the law. The time is now. What time is it? And also we realize, too, that the invitation has been extended. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30, Jesus himself extended it to us. He says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What time is it? The time is now. The time is now because all things are ready. We realize, as we say, it has been extended. We realize in Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 10, we see where there's a parable of the invitation to a wedding feast. As I mentioned, we sing that song, all things are ready, come to the feast. Well, what time is it? The time is now. Why? Because the church has already been established. We don't have to go look for it. You know, people say, well, they're trying to find Christ in their lives. They're trying to find God, find Jesus. He ain't lost. He's not lost. He's been there the whole time. He's already there. And we were talking earlier about folks that will pick a congregation or a particular religious belief or a particular church, and then let's say, well, I'm trying to find the right church. My sister that passed away, Betty, was one of those individuals. She was everything. She was a Baptist. She was a Pentecostal. She was a holiness. She was all this. And one Saturday, Jason may not remember this, but him and Jamal were in Georgia, and Catherine and I were in Ohio before they actually came up with us. My sister Betty was staying with them. And that Sunday morning, Jason and Jamal, influenced, got up and went to worship service. And she called me. She goes, you know your boys went to church? I said, well, I expect them to. Not just because I was there. That made an influence on her. She actually, we came later on. She and I were talking one night to 2, 3 o'clock in the morning about the church. And it just so happened that Sunday, I was going to go worship with the folks right near where we were. And that day she was baptized. The individual that was there, the preacher was there. It was his first day on the job there. He came in, he preached the lesson. And as we were getting ready to leave, my sister Betty goes, David, I need to be baptized. I said, you sure do. We've talked about this. She goes, but we're in the car. We were ready to leave. I said, that doesn't matter. We'll stop the car and we'll go back. She goes, you think they'll baptize me? I don't want to believe it, sir, but yeah, if we stop the car. I went over to a couple of the brothers that I know because I'd known these men for years. I said, my sister would like to get baptized. We went and talked to the preacher. He goes, well, I don't know you, David. He said, but all the other brothers said they know you. He said, you've studied. I said, who have you talked with? She was baptized. She since died. So she hopped to the right place, is my point. She finally got the right one after a few tries, but you don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. The church is already established. The Bible tells us so. And we realize in Acts chapter 2, the Bible records, Peter records here, Luke records in there, he says, praising God, Acts 2 and 47. This is after the day of Pentecost, when they had crucified Christ on the cross, and they had been baptized. We know in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And who added? And the Lord added to the church daily those who had been saved. What time is it? Time is now. Those people realized the time was now at that point, even after they had just crucified our Lord and Savior. So when we look at our response to all things ready, the church has already been established. You and I can be in it. How do we know that? Well, again, we go to the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, Paul says, for by one spirit, not two, not three, not four. So if you're hopping from one place to the other, stop hopping. Because the Bible says, for by one spirit, we're all baptized in how many body rocks? One. He didn't say two, three, one's just as good as the other. Because that's what the thing Chad mentioned too. Today we were talking in that Bible study class. Where they want to hop to one because they say, well, then one's just as good as this other. One's just as good as this one. That's not what the Bible said. It says one. I don't, if I got one, I can't hop. Right? There's only one. It says by one spirit, right? We are all, that's not leaving anybody out, are baptized into one body. Whether Jew or whether Greek, whether slave, whether free, have all been made to drink in one spirit. Just one. There's only one. What time is it? The time is now. Well, all things are ready. The gospel has been revealed to us. It was put in force by the death of Christ. We know when he died, he fulfilled the Old Testament and became the heir of the New Testament. It's also it's the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16. This is one of those, as Ross said, most of us probably could quote it, but as soon as you stand up here, sometimes your brain just functions differently. So Romans chapter 1:16, we know that all things are ready because Paul writes in Romans 1:16, he says, For I, he's talking to him, but you could do the same. For you, for David, is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. That doesn't leave anybody out. So if I'm hopping, stop hopping. There's no reason to hop, Paul tells him. He says, for all of us, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. What time is it? It's time. The time is now. It was put in force by the death of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. It contains all things pertaining to life and godliness. So what else am I going to look for? Let's go to 2 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 3. Peter records here, as his divine power has given to us. Who has it given it to? Us. To all of us. He goes on to say, all things that pertain to life and godliness. There's nothing else for me to look through or look for. He says, through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue, Jesus Christ himself. What time is it? The time is now. When we look at the fact that now may be the only time that you have, James says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go such and such in a city. Spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? What is our life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. It goes away. What time is it? The time is now. Now may be the only time that you and I have. There's no promise of tomorrow. There's no going back to yesterday. Those things that happened in the past, I don't care how good we are. I don't care what position I hold in life. I cannot change a single thing that happened yesterday. Not one. We realize, too, in Psalms 103, verses 15 through 16, as for a man, his days are like grass. Well, I don't know about you, Chad. You might have a little helper there beside you, but I was out there with there trying to mow that grass. Right? And that's the season, right? As a man, for his days are like grass, as flowers in the field, so he flourishes. But the wind passes over it, and it's gone. You cut it, you bag it up, and it's gone. That grass is gone forever. And this place remembers no more. You don't even remember that grass you cut the week before or 2 weeks before because you got to cut it again. There has no place in life. What time is it? The time is now. As we say, there's no promise of tomorrow. There's no going back. The brevity and uncertainty of life are ever-present reality. They must be acknowledged by every individual. I knew death happened. I know that. You all know that. But I'm telling you, I was quite touched that day that this man I just talked to on the way home, we were out playing basketball with his son, and he dies in a head-on crash. And then, I guess, as the rest of the story, Paul Harvey would say, they actually wind up because none of those men could compose themselves to preach a funeral, they asked me. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm in shock almost because it's just something I wasn't expecting. But certainly, I had opportunity to learn that in a little bit about that man, and that's what we talked about. But we talked about God's word. So as we look at this thing, we say, now is the time to awake out of sin. Awaken from moral sleep is what Paul says. He tells us how we should awaken from that. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I will let you see where there's a couple things that are there. He says, you and I, Paul says, therefore, be what? Imitators of God as dear children. He tells us in verse 2, to walk in love as Christ. We realize the time is now. For you and I to come out of that moral sleep, we need to be imitators of God. How do we know what God's word, God wants us to do? We find it within God's word. It tells us what he wants us to do. He said, you know, there's a good reason. He says, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. That means it's in the early hour. That day's over, Chad. This is like after midnight. You can't go back and fix it. Those things you said, you know, I want to do this today. I want to do that today. And then midnight happens, it's over. You can't go back and change it. You can't go back and redo it. That's why when we look at what we're going to do for God, we got to do it today. We can't put it off. What time is it? the time is now. Now is the time to lay aside all sins. You know, we were talking in class today, too, where with Noah. Noah's building that ark, you know, and, you know, we, Tom and Kate had been in that area, and Catherine, right? There's a lot of rocks, yeah. And I'm going to bet you somebody's picking up rocks, throwing it, Noah. Hey, Noah, how are you building that boat? Are you building a boat every day? Noah's out there building for years. He's building that boat. They're chucking rocks at it. The idea is to lay aside all sin. It means to cast, to take away, or remove those clothes. Those things that are figurative as a sin or selfishness. Some of the places in Colossians chapter 3 and 8, he says, but now you yourselves put off all these things. He's telling you, if you don't know what you need to put off, if you don't know, well, I'm not sure what sin I need to put away today. He says, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language coming out of your mouth. That's just one of those things. 1 Peter chapter 2 and 1, he says, lay aside all malice. He says, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking. There's a list of them. James in chapter 1, verse 21. Lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness. You get the idea. These are sins. Today is the day we get rid of those. We can't say we're going to wait. We're going to wait. You don't have that time. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, 22, he says, that you put off concerning your former conduct, that old man, those things, the old man really is actually even yesterday, because you can't change it. He says, those things that were corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Paul says, put them away. What time is it? The time is now. You cannot continue in sin and stay, continue to be saved. You cannot do that. God doesn't exist at that point. You cannot. In Romans chapter 6 and 1, Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2, he says, certainly not, with emphasis and an exclamation. Certainly not. You know, it'd be a case at work a lot of times, I'll hit that table so they can get that understanding. This is something that's important. Certainly not. He says, how shall we die? How shall we who died to sin live anymore in it? Ross was talking about conquering sin in our Bible class today. And we talk about when we conquer those things, don't think it's just going to stay back in the house. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm never going to be tempted with that. We've got to continue to be in God's word. You know, I think it was either Chad or Tom one mentioned, we said, those things that are bad in life, we need to replace them with something good. Because if we don't, those bad things will come right back. They were a part of us at one time. What time is it? The time is now. To continue to look, we see it's time to put your life on God's side. Paul uses the expression, put on the armor of life. Put on the armor of life. You know, it's an allusion to a spiritual garb as a Christian is that we wear those things that keep evil from our life. Shed evil and take up the battle of God. When we talk about taking up the battle of God, one of the things you and I need to realize, no one said it's going to be easy. What time is it? The time is now, but it didn't mean it's easy. We're going to endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. You know, Tom was in the Army and I was in the Navy. There were some hardships. There was some hardship for our family. There was hardship for us. As a soldier, you realize there are going to be some hardship. There can be things that you're not going to like. You know, we were just talking about poor Noah. I'm sure he didn't like those rocks hitting him every day. We don't, that's speculation. We don't know that. But there are lots of them, Chad. There's lots of rocks everywhere. Right? And I know in the South, we used to chump rocks a lot. Yeah, that was just something boys did. You threw rocks at everything. So when we look at this, Paul says, look, shed evil and take up the battle of God. Get rid of something bad, replace it with something good. Get rid of something bad in our lives. Replace it with something good. Endure the hardship. He has in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We want you to realize these are things that we're reading in God's word. This is not just one individual standing here talking about what time it is. God's word tells us the time is now. We are to fight that good fight of faith. A good fight. In 1 Timothy 6 and 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. That means hold on to. Say, lay hold of eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. That good confession is that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. What time is it? The time is now. We look at this too. Now is the time to walk properly, to be decent and appropriate, to walk circumspect. That means you're walking carefully. You're wisely. You're redeeming the time. You're looking and realize you don't want to waste any time. Paul mentions that in Ephesians 5 and 15. He says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days of are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of God is. Understand that you and I are to walk properly. What time is it? The time is now. You know, the proper life for a Christian is verse 13. Walk as it is in the day. Light exposes all things. We were all told, well, I say we all, I know Jason remembers this, and you probably told the same thing, that get home before dark. The bad things happen at dark. Right? And of course, you always want to hang out at dark. Because right? That's when the bad things are supposed to. Paul says, walk in the light, because the light exposes those things. Things which oppose the right way to walk. He gives a list of them. We read them before. We realize, what time is it? Now is the time to walk properly. So as we continue on, looking at now is the time. We're to clothe ourselves. Put on the clothes of righteousness at baptism. We see that in Galatians chapter 3 and Romans chapter 6 and 3. He says, put on Christ in righteous living. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and 21, we're to mirror the life of Christ. That's pretty easy, I think. The younger ones would realize, if I got a mirror, I'm looking, I'm seeing the thing that's before me. We should be looking to the life of Christ. What time is it? The time is now. We need to do all the things that Christ requires of us. As we conclude the lesson, we've asked the question, what time is it? We've talked about the fact that the time is now. The time is now for you and I to realize that we don't have tomorrow. All those things that we say, we looked at, we said, the reason why now is the time, it's the time for salvation. All things are ready. There's nothing left for us to look forward to. The fullness of time has come. The invitation has been extended. The church has been extended. The church has been established. The gospel has been revealed. Well, realizing what time it is, the time is now. The time is for us to hear God's word. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. The time is now. Well, after we hear the word, what do? Now is the time for us to believe it. In Hebrews chapter 11 and 6, the Bible tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What time is it? It's time to repent. In the Bible, in Acts chapter 17, Luke records, he says, in the time of ignorance of God, or at the time of ignorance, God winked at. But now, what time is it? Now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. What time is it? Now is the time to confess. What are we confessing? In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus himself tells them, Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But he tells you what happens if you don't. Matthew chapter 10, verse 33, Jesus says, but whosoever shall deny me, whosoever shall deny Jesus before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. What time is it? The time is now. The time is now. The time is to be baptized. Then Peter said unto them, repent, because they asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? They had just crucified Christ in Acts chapter 2. In verse 38, Peter said to them, now is the time. He says, now repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What time is it? If you've been baptized, you've obeyed the gospel, you've done what God has told us to do, to be added to his church. What time is it now? The time is to remain faithful. The time is to remain faithful. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible tells us, Be thou faithful unto what? To death. And I will give thee the crown of life. What time is it? The time is now. So as we come to the end of our lesson today, that's the question you and I have to answer. What time is it? We have to look at our lives. The things that are in the past are of the past. All we have right now is just today. So Ross has selected a song this morning for us to sing. The song is Trust and Obey. So as we sing that song, if you haven't put on Christ in baptism and you want to do that, we certainly can help you with that. But if you have put on Christ in baptism, haven't done the things you need to do, realize that now we ask the question, what time is it now? Come forward, repent, and we'll pray for you and pray with you. We'll ask you to do that now as we stand forward and sing the song of invitation.